This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han. Overnight, Facebook shares tumbled the most since 2015. This followed news that data analysis firm Cambridge Analytica may have kept information of millions of users without their knowledge. Also this week, the EU is set to reveal its tax plan on tech giants, while markets anticipate some big-name IPOs. To get some insights into how markets are responding, we have on the line Jonathan Curtis, Vice President of Franklin Equity Group. Han, you speak to him.
Good morning, Jonathan. Let's begin with Facebook's big announcement over the weekend, suspending data analysis firm Cambridge Analytica from its platform. Now, Facebook insists that it's not a data breach. Is this more of a reputational risk, or could this strike at Facebook's core business?
Yeah, I've read through some of their protestations, and I think I'll trust them. It's not a data breach. Certainly, it looks like Cambridge Analytica may have not complied with some of the things they'd agreed to do with the data that they'd gained access to. But I mean, fundamentally, Facebook and many of these big social platforms are about helping advertisers, companies who are advertising products or advertising ideas, in the case of, let's say, a political campaign, helping them gain access to relevant customers. Ultimately, that's their business model. Certainly I think Facebook understands that they are in the crosshairs right now of political leaders in the wake of disclosures like this, and what may have happened with Brexit, and what may have happened with President Trump's election, and the roles that the Russian community may have played using the platform. Facebook understands this, and I think is working hard to tighten up not only its ability to find usage of its platform that looks like this, but ultimately to also help lawmakers and its user base understand the value that its platform is creating for them. And so we don't think that this fundamentally strikes at the core of Facebook's business model. We think that they're clearly on it and trying to address the concerns.
Now, Jonathan, while you believe that this may not strike at Facebook's core business, but what about the broader industry? Because, as you rightly pointed out, lawmakers have called for tighter regulation, at least on the part of Facebook. So what do you think the broader fallout from this Cambridge Analytica episode will be on the broader industry?
I think that we've been having a slow wake-up to the role that these big social platforms play, not only in traditional advertising, but increasingly in political campaigns. Political campaigns are a very small portion of what these big social platforms, how they get paid. It's a very small portion of their revenue, and typically around election events. And so, let's say that all political advertising and all political activity with these big social platforms was somehow banned. It would have a relatively small impact on Facebook's business. And I wouldn't be surprised to see these companies like this say, you know what, we're just not going to engage in political advertising. There's so much value that we can provide to our users and to customers outside of the political domain that it's just easier to not allow the political activity and to engage with anybody who is going to use our data for political means to engage on the platform.
Now, while you believe the fundamentals remain intact, are they resilient enough to perhaps offset the risk of higher taxation? Because later this week, on March 21st, the EU set to announce its proposed tax plan for global tech companies. The headline figure reads 3% of gross revenue. So will the tech giants be able to take this in stride?
I believe so. I mean, 3% of gross revenue, presumably that would be gross revenue in the affected regions. So if you assume that, let's say 40% of the revenue of these big platforms comes out of the affected regions, then 3% of 40% is a very small number. So we don't see it having a big outsized impact.
Got it. So fundamentals able to withstand the risk of not just higher regulation, but also this proposed 3% tax. Got it. Now, Jonathan, also we've got some headline-grabbing IPOs in the tech space coming up. Dropbox set for later this week, and also Spotify on April 3rd. We just saw Zscaler's successful IPO last week. Will 2018 mark a turnaround of sorts for tech IPOs? I mean, given last year's disappointments that we saw with Blue Apron, Cloudera, Snap, etc.
Yeah, I think we don't look at the IPO market in aggregate. We look at it really on a fundamental basis, business by business. Zscaler is an IPO that we participated in. We think that it's a very promising business, and we weren't surprised to see it be well received by investors. Similarly, we're doing our work currently on Spotify and Dropbox, but we think that investors will evaluate these businesses on their fundamentals, not on some sort of outlook on the IPO market. I think both Spotify and Dropbox are emblematic of a big theme that we are seeing going on with technology. Businesses are really taking advantage of this idea of digital transformation, of leveraging this very big base of always on, always connected consumers and finding ways to capitalize on that base with more services-oriented, data-rich business models. In the case of Spotify, obviously they're helping the music industry starting to grow again by offering streaming services and really helping the music industry gain access to that 3 billion user base of always on, always connected consumers. And in the case of Dropbox, they're helping very small businesses really forego the need to have an IT department and on-premise IT infrastructure for doing collaboration around digital documents. Both of these are businesses that are really taking advantage of this big change that really the advent of the internet and the mobile devices and the cloud have made possible.
Now, Jonathan, I know you just pointed out that you do a case-by-case analysis, you know, and I'm sure that scalability, that is a major component of that analysis. But what about path to profitability then? How much does that weigh when you look at a particular tech stock?
Oh, it's very, very, very important. So we want to see with business models like a Zscaler or a Spotify or a Dropbox, we want to have confidence that the unit economics, in fact, are working, i.e. the costs that they're paying to acquire a customer and then the value that customer delivers to these platforms, that ratio of the value that is brought in versus the cost to acquire is working correctly. And if we have confidence that the basic unit economics are working out, then we can be very comfortable owning the business, especially during the high growth stage when oftentimes the underlying profitability is hidden from investors because these companies are investing to acquire customers. So profitability is super important for us, and we think that we get evidence of that in whether the unit economics are working, i.e. the cost to acquire and how long and how valuable the customers will be once they are acquired.
Got it. So with all that you've mentioned there, can you indulge us with a broader overall outlook on tech stocks, not just in the U.S., but also from China as well?
Sure. So our big thesis is that tech's role is on the rise in industries that we would all understand to be sort of centrally tech, but also in industries far afield from technology. Ultimately, we believe that this big base of always-on, always-connected consumers has created an opportunity for a number of promising platform businesses that are digital-centric, service-oriented businesses to emerge around that base. And then that is creating pressures on companies who are being disrupted by those new digital actors to also invest in technology. A perfect example is what we're seeing happening in retail with Amazon and Alibaba. Companies like Walmart and others are really having to invest heavily in technology to fight against these new digital natives. We're seeing something similar in transportation with these ride-sharing companies, not only disrupting the traditional taxi industry, but we believe eventually will start applying pressure to the traditional automobile manufacturers. And so we're seeing companies like Ford and others invest in self-driving technology, invest in bicycle fleets. So our thesis is that ultimately these digital disruptors are able to leverage their unique business models, their unique understanding of data to enter into new markets, and that's compelling legacy businesses to also invest more heavily in technology. So we're very positive on the long-term role of technology. In the near term, we're also very positive. We look at valuations, particularly in the S&P 500 technology companies relative to the broader S&P 500, to be very reasonable, and yet you've got a structurally better industry. There's better growth in technology. You've got some of the highest quality business models. You've got reasonable valuation. And then in 2018, you've got a catalyst around corporate tax reform. You've got cash coming back to the U.S. With these big technology companies. We think that'll be applied to share repurchase activity and increased dividends. And then you've got really a catalyst in spending also occurring around tech. Every U.S. company has now gotten more profitable as a result of corporate tax reform, and many of them are now saying that they're going to take that improved profitability and invest more in technology. So we're very positive on the fundamentals in technology in 2018.
So plenty of macro factors that can influence the entire industry. Great insights there. Thank you so much for your time. That was Jonathan Curtis, Vice President and Research Analyst at Franklin Equity Group.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.